You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:15pm. Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott, the team in the studio. Very busy day with it being a bank holiday Monday. We've got Cartmel, Huntingdon, Leicester, Redcar, Windsor and Chelmsford throughout the course of the afternoon and evening racing on top of that at Ballinrobe. So do join them for that. Right now my name is Mark Walton, joined by Andy Gibson to have a little reflection on the weekend and then look ahead to Monday. How are you, Andy?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. It's been a tremendous weekend of racing, so we're just going to take a look back at some of the star performances. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with the Irish 2000 Guineas, which of course was on Saturday, won by Phoenix of Spain, which was relatively unconsidered in the market, 16-1 for Charles Hills. Jamie Spencer on board beat the one of the joint favourites, Two Down Hot. Andy Crypt was back in third position. I mean, he had the form in the book, but it was his reappearance. What do you make of Phoenix of Spain's success?
Well, he was only just behind Two Down Hot and Magna Grecia last year as a two-year-old. Came here as a fresh horse, possibly had the run of the race, but looked super impressive in winning the Irish 2000 Guineas. He, immediately after the race, William Hills put him in at, I think, 9-4 for the St. James's Palace. I think it's safe to say that if he'd have been trained by Aidan O'Brien, he'd be more like 11-10 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but I could still see him drifting between now and the James Palace, because presumably Aidan O'Brien will come up with something that will shorten between now and Royal Ascot. Possibly Two Down Hot will, you know, they'll come back and say, well, he ran too quickly after the Dante, dropped in trip from the Dante, raced a bit keenly, didn't quite get home due to the circumstances of two races in 9 days, etc., etc. So I think there'll be money for that. The horse that I thought might be interesting next time would be Scardew, who definitely raced too keenly yesterday, didn't quite get home. And my immediate post-race reaction was that he might be a big price for the St. James's Palace on the turning track where you've only got a 2 1/2 furlong finish. And he'll be, I could imagine him being held onto on the rail, coming round the bend, and probably having more chance in that type of race rather than on the more galloping course, which is the Curra and indeed Newmarket previously.
He's a 12-1 chance for the St. James's Palace Stakes at the moment. Obviously quite a shake-up at the top end of the market. Phoenix of Spain now 9-4 favourite. Two Down Hot out to 4-1. Magna Grecia 5-1. 8-1 King of Comedy and Persian King. And 10-1 on bigger prices for the remainder, warming up to be a very good renewal of the St. James's Palace Stakes. It was a good day in general on Saturday for the trainer as well. Charles Hills had Batash back in action at Haydock, and he made a winning return.
He did, and as Batash does, when he wins, he tends to win and look like a superstar and look like a horse. You know, you sort of think, well, how on earth is he going to get beaten? But when you look through his record, two seasons ago, he only got beaten once. That was at York. Last season, he got beaten at York. He got beaten in France, and he got beaten at Royal Ascot. After winning at Haydock last season, he's not a horse that has tended to follow through a win with another win. So we just need to be a little bit careful in that when he's on his A game, he looks unbeatable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out for him. If you take the view that he just simply isn't suited to York, which might be the case, then his record looks fairly unblemished in that he was only beaten really by Blue Point at Royal Ascot last year, and that would be very high class form. I just think we need to be careful about supporting a horse like Batash when he's a very short price. You look at the race yesterday, Mab's Cross never got into the race. Catchy was probably lit up by the horse running next to him that was also lit up, and I don't think quite got home. Batash looked super impressive, but probably didn't beat a lot on the day in beating the 20-1 shot Alpha Delfini. So, yeah, I'd be a little bit careful with Batash when he's trading very, very short, as impressive as he undoubtedly was yesterday.
Let's have a look at some of Sunday's action as well, because the Guineas weekend at the Curragh included the 1,000 Guineas, the Irish 1,000 Guineas, at 4:25 on the Sunday, and it was won by Hermosa, the 5-2 favourite home in front, beat Pretty Pollyanna and Foxtrot Live, and that makes her a dual Guineas winner, having won the 1,000 Guineas at Newmarket as well.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I'm just working next door with John O'Connell, who mentioned that Hermosa has been kept in the Oaks for next weekend, which is... quite surprising. We'll see how that goes. You'd have to say she was very, very strong from 2 furlongs to the line. Looks like a filly in need of further, or at least who would appreciate further. Of what you would say about this race is nothing got into it. The first three were pretty much the first three all the way. You had horses out the back like East and Cabala. Cabala didn't get the best of runs, but I think that was her own doing in that she lacked a little bit of tactical speed at a vital time. Then she tried to get out and was blocked in by East. The two of them were from the back trying to come through. It was pretty obvious from two or three out that they weren't going to get there. I think Cabala and East are probably worth marking up on another day. Cabala certainly isn't that bad. I mean, she was third in the 1,000 Guineas, much closer to the winner. I'd mark those two up. It was a race that favoured the front runners, but Hermosa looked very strong from two to the line. She'll certainly be a mile and a quarter filly and quite possibly stay the mile and a half in time.
She's 8-1 for the Oaks, by the way. I know she's still in there. It would be some training performance to win two Guineas and then an Oaks within the space of... Well, the second Guineas and an Oaks within the space of a week. I mean, I know Aidan O'Brien's a genius, but I think that might even be difficult for him to pull off.
And one would imagine that if you asked Aidan O'Brien now, he would say, well, we've kept her in and we'll just monitor and see how she goes over the next few days and make a decision later on. He's not going to give anything away, is he?
No. He had a success in the race before that as well, Group 1 success for Magical. It was an Aidan O'Brien 1-2 with Magical beating Flag of Honour. Market suggested Magical would win pretty convincingly, and that was the case. Do we learn much from that?
Not very much, other than the Tattersall's Gold Cup comes at a time when it's got lots of competition for Group 1 races over a mile and a quarter. Once again, not the strongest field. The prize money outstanding, €236,000 to the winner, €76,000 to the runner-up. And why, oh why, did we not see two or three British horses in that race? It's not the strongest. There's a number of horses that ran over the weekend and indeed last week at Sandown that you could have said would have been perfectly home in that race, could have finished third and won more prize money than they did at home. It's a surprise, but a very, very weakly contested race, and all it did was prove that Magical has retained her ability.
Let's move on to the action on Monday then. We've got a very busy Monday, as we mentioned, and we're going to look at races at Cartmel and Redcar. The race at Redcar is the Zetland Gold Cup. We'll move on to that in just a moment or two. Let's start with Cartmel though, because we'll go through them in chronological order. The 3:20 is the first race that you picked out, Andy, a veterans handicap chase over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. Some familiar old names in here. Who comes out on top today?
It's a complicated little race. The horse I'm taking a chance on is the Mickey Hammond horse, Silver Tassie. I haven't seen him for 71 days. The big reason is, first of all, he'd love the ground. Secondly, Mickey Hammond is in massive form, and Mickey Hammond is a horse who tends to have a glut of winners at any one time. It's not the strongest renewal. It's very winnable, and I think Silver Tassie will probably run very well. Interesting to see whether he stays the longer trip. I'm assuming he's going to be a double figure price. I hope he is. I certainly wouldn't back him if he was short, and I might have a small each way bet on him if he's a double figure price.
Okay, each way angle in the race, Silver Tassie. Let's move on to the 4:10 at Redcar next, one of the big betting races of the day, the Zetland Gold Cup Handicap. We've got the betting out on site already as well, and here at William Hill, we're paying 4 places instead of 3, should the field hold up. Alma Free, the 9-4 favourite at the time of recording this, 4-1 for Apollamo. Luna Jet is 7-1, 7-1 Society Red. First sitting is 10s, it's 10-1 for Nicholas T, and 14s or bigger for the remainder. We'll move on to this year's renewal in just a moment or two, but it's a race you hold dear to your heart, isn't it, the Zetland Gold Cup?
I remember doing an interview, I think it was for At the Races once, and they asked me what was the race I would like to win as an owner. More than any other, and I said the Gold Cup, obviously knowing that they would think I meant the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but I actually meant the Zetland Gold Cup. I'm from Redcar, or Redcar, as I should say, coming from there. And it's a big race, close to my heart, for me and my dad. My dad passed away 9 years ago, but we had every year for the Zetland Gold Cup, we would, you know, disagree, argue, agree, whatever, on who was going to win it. And if my dad, I loved it when my dad won, because he'd always do a big I told you so. my earliest memories, we were looking it up a minute ago, Move Off won it 2 years running. I think it was 76, 77 or 75, 76. They're my earliest memories of Move Off winning the race. I have to say it was a much, much bigger race then than it is now. It's certainly sort of been downgraded over the years. But still, it's a horse race that's close to my heart, and I would love to win it as an owner. The horse, my pin has fallen on Richard Fahey's horse tomorrow. Society Red, who's about a 7 or 8 to 1 shot, I think. He was beaten by UAE Prince narrowly at York last time out on the 17th of May. Makes a quick return to the track. Ran a cracking race that day. I'd expect him to run well here. It's a wide open race. What are the place terms we're offering?
Four places at a fifth of the odds.
Four places a fifth of the odds, yeah. So, you know, fair enough. Society Red, did you say your price?
7 to 1.
So 7 to 1. Society Red. Not a massively confident selection. I think Al Mufri, wearing a hood for the first time for the Willie Haggis Yard, will be tricky to beat. May well be ahead of the handicapper. But I'd just rather go with that very solid recent performance of Society Red and hope that he follows it up with another good run tomorrow.
Society Red then at 7 to 1, the selection in the Zetland Gold Cup, to go along with an each-way pick, Silver Tassie, in that 3:20 at Cartmel as well. Been a pleasure, Andy. Thank you very much for joining us. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
You're very welcome.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Gibson on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15 p.m. Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott, the team in the studio, Cartmel, Huntingdon, Leicester, Redcar, Windsor and Chelmsford, the afternoon lineup, and Ballinrobe throughout the evening as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.